Let's pray, y'all. Father, I thank you. I praise you for it all. Just the opportunity to preach and teach your word here in this place. We ask right now that if there be anything about me that would keep people from seeing you and your glory, that you would hide me behind the cross. Because there's nothing about me that will save people. There is nothing about me, Lord, that will get people to the kingdom, but only pointing to you. It is in your name that we pray and give all due praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Many of you are familiar with this person, the smaller person. Does anybody know his name? Can anybody get Tom Thumb? That's right. You look at another picture of him, you'll see that he is a little person. And the original Tom Thumb was kind of conjured up in folklore in the 1600s about this farmer and his wife. They wanted to have a child and they couldn't have children. And they prayed to the Lord that if you just give us a child, even if it's the size of our thumb, that we'll be ever so pleased. And they got a son and he was the size of their thumb. And so they called him Tom Thumb. At least that's the folklore. Anyway, he grew up to be clever. And so don't let his size fool you. A lot of times there are some big things in little packages. Can I get a witness? And so he would do many things. So that's what he became known for. Not just his size, but the fact that he used his mind to do these things. In the 1830s, there was a man by the name of Charles Stratton. And he actually was he grew to be 3 feet tall. That would be somewhere like here on me, 3 feet tall. And he joined Barnum and Bailey Circus. You know the great Barnum and Bailey Circus. And he was known as Tom Thumb. Very, very smart and so forth. Why do I say that? When we look at the size of a person, it doesn't mean that they're fully grown. Are you with me? And that for all of us, especially if you're parents, the one thing you want to see in the child that God has given you, that they get everything that they're needed in order to grow to their potential. Would that be pretty much accurate for those of you who are parents? And so we pour into them, we invest in them, sometimes thousands of dollars, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, as well as time spent with them. I have known people, and I'm not making this up, that have had children that were deformed. They were born quadriplegic, meaning they couldn't use their arms, they couldn't use their legs, and they had to be carted around. And their parents, I'm thinking about, you know, the young man who was in our church, and their parents still invested in them. And that young man that I'm talking about, he went to Berkeley, got his degree and everything. And so we never know. People are born with challenges, but everybody in here, look at the person next to you and say to them, you were born challenged. You were born challenged. Yeah. You were born challenged. That's right. I know. And especially, you know, when you think about how smart you are, and I know that you're smart, and we have some billion people in the world, but here's a well-known fact. None of us uses any more than about 10% of our brain capability. Why is that? Because God hasn't allowed that yet to happen. We see increases, and people are definitely smarter today, but we're all challenged. We all can do, hey, look at somebody and tell them we could do a little better. Tell them you could do a little better. As smart as you are, you could do a little better. And so that's what I want to preach to you this morning. I want to talk about the word groan. Let me say groan. And here's my title. It's a little long. Fully grown is when I quit doing childish things and start doing something. The scripture is going to clearly state about what things to put away and what childish area. But there's an implication in our text of what we should be doing. I stop doing this. Y'all don't hear me. And as an adult, as a fully grown person, I start doing this. Let me start off with the assumption, because I can't prove it to you, but that if you came in here this morning and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're no ways fully grown. Now, every Christian here probably going right there. That's right. You tell them, Pastor. And that's just true. You're not fully grown. I don't care how good you are at sports. I don't care how good an instrument player you are. I don't care how good you are in terms of your academics. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, which means you don't have the Father and you don't have the Holy Spirit in you to give you the power, then you are not fully grown and you never will be. Are you with me? So that's going to preface my whole message to you this morning. And we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 13:11. You're going to find something very unusual about this chapter. And the unusualness about it is that this is known as the love chapter. You know, it talks about love. The greatest of these is love. But then towards the end, three quarters of the way through, it's going to talk about kids growing up and what it means to be fully grown. And then it's going to go back to love again. And you need to ask yourself the question, what does love have to do with being fully grown? And I say to you, it's got everything. Because God is love. And if I'm not fully grown, if I don't have God in my life, then I don't have real love. Am I making sense? All right, so here we go. Here's what the verse says. And we can all read it together because it's only one verse that we're teaching from this morning. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, when I became fully grown, man here is not male and it's not female. It's both male and female, andros. I put the ways of childhood behind me. Of course, we can't go into every area here, but the Lord, He brings it down to three areas that are principal for us in understanding. Anybody want to know what it means to be fully grown? Because sometimes I don't want to go out of here thinking I'm fully grown. And my goodness gracious, I just got taught something. I got some things to do. Let's look and see what the word says. Anybody ready for the word? Any young person? I see the young people back there. Okay, I got you, right? You ready for the word? All right. First thing, what I tell myself matters. What I tell myself matters. What I tell myself matters. What I say to me, and especially about me, matters. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. It is indicative of child talk to talk about me, myself, and I. You know, all children have got this thing, and especially teenagers, drama is going on. Why? Because the world evolves around me. I wake up in the morning, everything is about me. Everything that goes on is concerning me. And if I don't ever learn how to see others in their situation, if I don't ever learn how to be empathetic, put myself in somebody else's shoes, I will never be a grown up. If it's all about you, can I get a witness? If it never moves outside of you, then you'll always be a child. Have you ever seen some churches that are like that? You know, I don't care. I mean, big churches. You got churches that 1,000 members, but they don't ever do anything to help even their own community. And there's probably nothing worse than seeing a church with thousands of members in a community that's deplorable. The children are poor. They're ignorant and they're running around because the church is acting childish. The church wants everybody to come to them when they should be going out. That's an obvious. And I could stay on that forever. But I think that there's something that's more important. And there is this. When I was a child, I listened to what people said about me. You know, that's the one thing that distinguishes adults, Art. When people say to you, you can't play for the NFL. If you're a child, you do what? You go and cry. Or you say, they told me I wasn't no good. They told me that I can't play. But if you're fully grown, you say, that's okay. You can see me the way you want to see me. But I can do all things. Do you all hear me? That is the word of God, and that is the word that is in me. I can do all things. So there's no such thing as can't in my vocabulary. I can do math. I can do science. I can do everything that's challenging. Why is that? Because greater is he. Y'all want me to sit down? Greater is he that lives in me than anything that is in the whole. What I tell myself. This is one reason why hopefully we come to church. Because usually there are folks here that'll tell you something good. They'll tell you something encouraging. Can I get a witness? Even if it's just a little something. That's why he meets with the young people. Deacon Art's like me. We just making it. But you see, I got to go because there's somebody down there for me to pour into. Y'all hear me? There's somebody for me to lift up. Look at what the word of God says in Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, especially to yourself. You're too ugly. You the wrong color. You know, a child will believe that. Am I wrong or right? A child will accept that. But a fully grown person will say to you, you can call me when sticks and stones hurt my bone, but words will never harm me. You can call me whatever you want to say. My God says I'm beautiful. My God says I'm the best I can be. My God says that he made me good. And he don't make no junk. That's what my God says. And so therefore, that's what I say about me. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, especially to yourself. but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs. You can't help anybody else until you help you, you know, until you can stand in the mirror. Hey, I know for some of us, we have been beat down so much. I come from a group of people, we've been beat down, and we've been told you the wrong color, you the wrong culture, you come from the wrong, you from the what? Bronx, New York? You even come from the worst place. And so it's easy for me to say, you know what? I guess I am all that. But I can't say that when I look at the Word of God, who tells me whose word is going to trump? My word, your word, or God's word? And if God's words trump, then I'm going to tell myself, that's right, the blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. Can I? That's what my mama used to say. I was in Atlanta, and I worked for a youth organization of young people that had a lot of problems, sort of like youth authority, and almost like jail, to be honest with you. And one of the things I noticed when I first went into the organization, I asked the kids their names, and they started giving me their nicknames. And so one young person said, my name is Hurricane. I said, Hurricane? And then I asked another young man, I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Tornado. He said, Tornado? I said, I asked another one, what's her name? And she said, my name is Monsoon. She said it with you know, lecture. My name is Monsoon. I said, it is. I don't know if anybody want to mess with you, Monsoon. And then still another one asked her name. She said, my name is Tsunami. I said, you know the problem here? Most of y'all in here, because all your names are disaster. Every one of y'all got a name. You can't do better. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and say, there goes disaster. There's a hurricane coming. That's you. Hey, say it with me. What I say. Come on, say it with me. What I say. To me. Matters. God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't make any junk. I'm looking forward to a bright future. Amen, because God made me good. That's the first thing. Second thing, I'm not sure if my thing is working so good today, so you might have to help me. It's to control which thoughts I accept. Now remember, the first thing is, what I say to me matters the most. There are going to be some people to talk about you. There are some people going to put you down. And there are some people who, for whatever reason, just want to have you, put you in a bad spot. But what you say about you, what you say about you is what matters. Are you with me? All right, number two, control which thoughts I accept. Control what thoughts I accept. Not only did I talk like a child, he says, I'm going to put that away. I'm not going to be talking bad about me. I'm going to talk bad about nobody else. But I thought like a child. I'm going to put that away. Now, I don't know if you noticed the progression, because thoughts come, our words are formed by our thoughts. It started going backwards. So if you have garbage in, what's going to happen? Garbage out. And if I get garbage in my thoughts, then my words about you, my words about others. You ever see people with a potty mouth? A garbage mouth? You know, you taking in thoughts about people, and then you've put it out. And words are powerful. I'm going to say this to you. And I bet you there's a whole lot of folk that will stand up on this pew if they didn't feel so dignified. Words are the most powerful thing in the world. That's right. Next to God, who is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it became flesh, put on eyes, ears, and a nose, and a mouth, and it came and showed me how to live, showed me how to be the best image of God that I could be. So words are powerful. I started to say 1 minute ago that there are some folks who will stand on this pew because they know I'm saying the truth. We come to a service like this, and people who are not saved, they think we go to church. But most of the people are in here because they want the word. Am I wrong or right? I'd say probably 90% of the folk are here this morning because they want the what? They want the word. They've driven 80 miles round trip because they want the what? They want the word. And they don't want any milk. I've had milk too long. I want word that is challenging. I want word that's going to grow me up. I want word that's going to make me rethink and reform and going to bring me closer to God, because you see, that's what words can do. If I get the right word, I could become a brain surgeon. I could become a physicist. I could become a business person with the right word. But you don't want to mix up words. If you want to be a business person, you don't go to med school. Those are different words. Are you with me? There is one word that is life-changing word, and that is God's word. I thought like a child. How do you get to think like God thinks? And hear me, Living Hope, and for those of you online, we get to think like God thinks because we use God's word. We apply it. You hear me? We don't just read it, but we apply it to our lives. Example. A woman was told her car was not running well. And she asked, what should I do with it? And they said, you know what? Take it and get an oil change. Because bad oil will make your car run rough. It'll even cause your motor to get clogged up. So you got to get that changed. So she goes and she takes the car to Walmart. Amen. That's where you go if you want a cheap oil change. So she took her car down. She got it changed. And when she started driving it with the new oil, she discovered something. It was still acting up. And she took it back to Walmart and she said, you all owe me some money because my car is still driving the same. I had my oil changed. And it's still driving. He said, well, ma'am, did you not ask us for oil change? She said, yes. He said, I can see what the problem is, though. She said, what's the problem? She said, you need a filter change, too. You see, just having the oil change is not enough. But you need to have the filter change, because what runs through the car must go through the filter, and the filter will keep the oil from getting dirty. Are you with me? God has made you like that. He's given you kidneys, and he's given you liver to do what? To filter out the bad stuff. If your blood's got bad stuff in it, you won't operate right. But your liver, if it's filtering right, if your kidneys, if they're filtering right, and if the other parts of your filtration system are working right, then you should be feeling better. The word of God won't make you do anything, but it is a great filter. It will allow you to say, there's certain things I will accept in, and there's certain things that I will not accept in. In other words, I'm getting all kinds of words. I'm getting all kinds of thoughts every day. I'm even in classes. But if the Word of God is my teacher, if the Holy Spirit is my teacher, then it is filtering from me the things that I will accept. Here's what I'm saying to you, church, is that you will not be fully grown until you tell yourself, there are some things I need to accept, and there are some things I am not going to accept. I'm not going to let anything just come into my mind. I'm not going to let anything just come into my thoughts, because you see, God's mind is one of the most powerful thing of my whole body. As a matter of fact, it'll tell your body what to do. And if your mind is not working right, then your body's not going to be right. This is why people can make a lot of money and they still be immoral. This is why people who necessarily have gone to great schools but still do some things that are evil, because you don't have the right filtration system. Can I get a witness? And God says, I won't make you. But if you just look at what you're doing through my lens, if you just look at the decisions that you are making through my perspective, some things you leave out and some things you will accept. Can I get a witness? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. What that means is, don't just accept any old thinking. Y'all hear me? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't keep the world out completely. You can't stop listening to people, but you can decide what you're going to keep. You're going to decide what can influence you. Do you know that this was the problem with our great-grandmama and grandpapa, Adam and Eve? That they didn't have a filtration system. They didn't have an understanding that you can't listen to just everybody. And so when the serpent came to them, you know, a talking serpent, that should have told you right then, you know what? To the hand, but you don't have a filtration system, then you accept anything. How many of you know what I'm talking about today? That when I was a child, you could tell me some of anything. But you see, I'm fully grown now. I operate through the Word of God. I operate through God's perspective. You can't tell me to do anything with my body. You can't tell me to do anything with my life. You can't just tell me anything to do with my finances, because you see, I'm controlled by what God says. Can I get a witness? And when I have God's filtration system working, I work better. You're going to lose some friends, won't you? You're going to lose some phony friends. But guess what? They wasn't your friends no how. They were just trying to pollute your blood. They were just trying to get you to put some stuff in your system that will keep you from running right. Is there anything like your car running good? How many of you like that hum when you turn that key and it goes, what you hate to hear is, you hate to hear that. God, something wrong with the starter. Something's wrong with the carburetor, the filtration. Something's wrong with my thinking. And I'm tired of stinking thinking. I need a filtration system. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, y'all. He says, a new mind. When I was a young man coming up, and I couldn't afford new tires, I would go and buy what we call Maypops. They were what do you call those tires again? Retreads. Thank you, Art. You from my generation. That's what I like about you. Retreads. And retreads will probably last you about a good month. I don't care how much they, you know, what they look like. And they look good on there. Don't they look good on there? I mean, they look like real tires. But after about a month, they always show themselves up. Well, God's word is not a retread. It's a brand new way of thinking. It's a brand new way of thinking. And sometimes it'll even go against what your body says. Hey, young people, some of y'all are probably looking at young men and young women right now because y'all are cute. Y'all are so cute. I'm looking at y'all. I don't think I've ever seen folk as cute as y'all are. And us as adults, we understand that because we used to look like that. Not anymore. Can I get a witness? So it don't stay. You need to make sure you tell young people, it don't stay. As a matter of fact, look at them and tell them, it don't stay. Yeah. Some of us, it left long time ago. But some of us, it left yesterday, but it don't stay. It don't stay. And if I don't have God's filtration system, then I'll get ahead of him in terms of my, because my body will tell my mind, oh, that looks good right there. You know? Don't you want to, can I get a witness here? I know you haven't been there. You haven't sinned all day. You look like you've never sinned before. But I've been there before, you know, before. I wasn't always married. And then you find yourself in problems. Can I get a witness? I mean, every time. Not just one time, but every time. God's way of thinking is the best way of thinking, isn't it? Don't conform to the patterns. That doesn't mean that all of the world's thinking is bad, because it's not. But you do need to start deciding what I'm going to keep and what I'm not going to keep. Can I get a witness? Last one. Ooh, look at that. I'm preaching to young folk now, so I can't hold you as long. See, if y'all had youth Sunday every Sunday, I'd have to let you out here earlier. Can I get a witness? See, people say, we got to go out and get some of youth around here then. Because Pastor Gainey be preaching for an hour, sometime longer. I've seen him go an hour and 5 minutes. All right. Am I preaching? Is it working? All right. Crazy sometimes makes sense. Crazy. Look at somebody and tell them crazy. Yeah. Let's do something crazy. Crazy sometimes makes sense. He says in the last thing, remember, I came fully grown. It's because I put away childish talk. I put away childish thinking. Now he says, I reasoned like a child. I put that away. How do children reason? How do cheese children reason? You know what I discovered in my research? The children don't reason. Because reason doesn't kick in, logic doesn't kick in until about 12, 13 years old. So which means that they don't even teach you like algebra and stuff like that until you get late time, seventh grade, something like that. So what is it that is characteristic then about childhood reasoning if they don't reason? Okay, let me give you a picture. Now, he looked like he's getting ready to have a good time, right? Getting ready to go skateboard. But the fact of the matter is, you see, that's an example of what? Because no adult would do that, right? No, a fully grown person, I mean, the most athletic of us wouldn't do that. Because we know that's going to end up in a what? A disaster. But if you're a child, you can't reason on that. So we have to protect you from that and say, no, don't do that. Don't do it. It's going to end up bad. You know, oh, you don't do that. You know, you don't want to do that. You know, when people act like a child, when they do risky stuff, you say that you acting childish, or we say you doing what? That's nonsense. That means, you know, you should be doing better for your size. Let's look. Here's another guy. Here's this boy. He's focused. He's doing his homework, right? Yeah. Look up at somebody and tell him, that's nonsense. That's nonsense right there. Because you know what's going to happen to him, right? He's going to stick that in there. And especially for boys. We like to stick things into things. I don't know what that comes from. But he's going to get lit up. And can I get a witness? And there ain't no maybe or maybe. I don't care if you're a Christian. He's going to feel it. How about this young man? He's taking pictures. I tell you what, it's exciting to see young people with cameras and technology, right? That's right. Now, I don't know if you have done any of these things, but you probably have done something like it. Because there was a period when you reasoned like a child. They even have things where you have to protect, you know, put plugs in your, you know, because they know you can't reason. I can tell you, don't you stick that knife in there. Don't you do that. And guess what? They'll be right over there. Let me see how this feels. You know, and you try to protect them. And there's nothing worse than an old person trying to stick something where they got no business, you know, or trying to do something they got no business. Can I get a witness? Nothing worse, because he says childish. That's nonsense. You know, I see people who have been married long as we have, 53 years, and they're out there, and hey, I got me a pretty little young thing here. I said, you know what? That's childish. That's not an adult. That's not fully grown. I see some women doing that now. It's worse with the women because they like to act like the men. I said, no, that's acting like a child. Every man ought to have his own wife, and every woman ought to have her own husband. You see, God said, just works out better like that. And I'll teach you how to tend to your own garden. I'll teach you how to grow fruit in your own garden. I'll teach you how to make it exciting. I'll teach you how to make it crazy. Because every now and then you got to go outside the box. Can I get a witness? Every now and then. You see, that is the primary point of being a fully grown Christian. I know what my eyes say. I know what my ears say. I know what my touch says. I know what my smell says. I know it says I can't do it. I know it says that there's no way to get around it. But you see, my God says that I can do all things. My God says that even when it seems like you can't make it, my God says even when it looks like it's going to fail, I'll make a way out of no way. You see, my God is still making miracles. He's crazy. And when I act like him, the world thinks I'm crazy. But you see, you got to be a little bit crazy to follow Jesus. Can I get a witness? I'm crazy. Anybody? I'm just crazy enough to think an old fella like me can come in here and preach to young people. And to preach to you who don't look like me, who don't come from my car. I'm just crazy. You know, my whole life has been precedented on believing not in the natural, but in the supernatural. God Almighty. Can I get a witness? Somebody ought to be standing up testifying right now to that. Oh, I serve a God who can do anything but fail. Y'all gonna be glad to see I'm gone. Oh, yeah. Because God's going to send you. See, that's your miracle. God's going to send you an answer for living hope that's 100 times better. Don't fall in love with me, because I'm just a little something of what God has. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that? How many of you want that? How many of you are so hungry for that right now? I'm willing to praise him even before I get there to the victory. I'm willing to give him all of the glory because he's able. I think we got some crazy folk in here. Deacon Georgia, I believe we got some crazy folk in here. I'm not the only one crazy. Well, 2 Timothy 2:26 says, and that they will come to their what? To their senses, and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Come to their senses. Your senses is God's senses if it's fully grown. We're not just talking about being out here on your own. And is Satan still busy? Is he still trying to influence you? Yes. In bigger ways than what I ever dreamed or imagined. John 12:14. These are some great words for you to memorize. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking, Asamu. And you will do. Cleani, you will do. Brenda, you will do. You will do, Noah. You will do. You will do even greater things than these things I've done. You will. And I'm going to the Father to make sure you get every resource, everything that you need. If you are in my place and in my will, how many of you are in the right place and doing God's will? Then you ought to be looking for God to do great things through you. For the message of the cross is crazy. That's what he said. I didn't say it. Isn't that what he said? The message of the cross is foolishness. It's crazy to those who are perishing, to those who don't believe. But to us who are being saved, it's what? It is the power. That's why I come to hear God's word, because it reshapes my thinking. It reshapes my words. You can say what you want to about me, but you see, God's got a word for me. You can think the way you want to. That's not logical for you to think because I'm not a certain color or I'm not from a certain culture that I can't do, because God says I can do all things. That is the natural. That is the way it's supposed to be. And that's what I'm claiming today. Can I get a witness? If that's you, stand on your feet. If that's you, stand on your feet. You know, that's why this word has got to get out. Because there are many people, and there are many young people, that they're being told that you're stupid, you're ugly, you can't, you're challenged, you'll never do, you'll never be. And I stand before you this morning, and I say without any hesitation, my God can do all things through me. And if he can do it through me, just think what he can do through you, as great as you are. Give God a hand clap. Give God a hand clap. When I was a child, come on, say it with me. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child when I became a man fully grown. I put the ways. If you don't talk good about me, that's all right. I talk good about me. If you don't think I'm all that, that's all I think, because my God says I'm all that. If you don't think I got no sense, you're right. I'm crazy. You know, you better watch out for me. Fully grown is when I quit doing childish things and start doing what? What I tell myself matters. Control which thoughts I accept. That's funny. You just can't tell me anything. Crazy sometimes makes sense. You can't preach about God opening up the Red Sea, but he did. I know it's crazy. I know it don't make no sense. I don't know how he did it. But you see, that's how God works. He works in what? Mysterious. You can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. I just got to flow with it. Fully grown. Seeing the world through God's eyes. Seeing the world through God's word. I'm going to ask our counselors, and if our music ministers would come forward. Pastor Nick, you might want to come up, you and Shantae, today. We got some young folk here today. I don't know. They might just respond to the word of God from this old brother. That's right. Now, here's what the invitation is. What is saying? You've never accepted Jesus Christ in your heart. That means fall in love. That means fall in love. When you accept God in your heart through Jesus Christ, you're saying, I love him like no other. Ain't nobody else. There's nobody else on the same level as me and her. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Nobody else. There's nobody else on the same level. I accept that he is the Lord of my life. And I'm the benefactor. I get the Father and the Holy Spirit. I get Jesus the Father. You can't beat the deal. The best deal in the world. Can I get away? That's the first thing. If you've never accepted Christ, how do you do that? You come before the church, your family here, even if you don't want to be a member of this family, you come before the people, your witnesses saying, today, this day, right now, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's right. I'm going to follow his thinking. I'm going to say what he says. I don't care what nobody else says. That means I got to learn what he says. I'm going to do what he says. That's the first part of the invitation. Then get baptized. That's marriage. You don't want to shack up on God. Just go to church. Get baptized. That says, I want to be in relationship with you like no other. That's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, some of you all, you have come to Living Hope. Some of you online, you've listened to me at Living Hope. But what you really need to do is you need to join a body of believers. For those of you who have not joined church, let me invite you. If you've been out of this church for a couple of years, you need to rejoin again. That's right. You should just come back. That's, you know what that's like? That's like the husband who says, you know what, I'm done with you. And then 3 years later, okay, I'm coming back home. I know if that was my woman, you know what she'd say? No, you ain't. Because the same person ain't coming back in here. God said, you need to get it right. You need to come back before the body. And you just say, okay, I'm going to stick with you now. I'm not running in and out. I'm not going to be here and there. Can I get a witness? Is there anything more worse than folk that are wishy-washy? Anybody ever had a boyfriend or a girlfriend that was wishy-washy? Folk going like this. Don't look down. But that's, God calls it lukewarm. I'm going straight up this time. You can count on me this time. I'm with you this time. I don't care bad or thin. This is the church God put me in. I'm saying to you, I'm saying to your face, you need to come forward. And you need to say, I want to be with y'all as we serve God together. Maybe you just need prayer. We used to have a counselor on this side. I don't know what happened, but I expect somebody to come. You know, why don't you come stand with your mama? Because your daddy usually stand today. He's not there today. Let him know you stood in his place. There you go. All right. The doors of the church are open. Won't you come?